Well, thank you all for coming this morning. It is a joy always to be here and looking forward to further ministry and in a variety of ways as we give you some leadership in the area of interim pastor. So thanks for your prayers and encouragement. I've said this many times, but you guys could not have been more affirming to us than you have. Now, today and next week, I decided I would preach Christmas messages. This is the Christmas season. And so I would like for you to turn in the Word of God to Luke chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. Did you ever notice how important obedience is in the Christmas story? That's why I call this message, Christmas is based on obedience. Many of the people in the Christmas account were confused about what was happening, but they were still obedient to God. There's going to be a real message in that for all of us at this Christmas season. I'd like for you to look at Luke chapter 1. Notice, if you will, verse 26. And in the sixth month, that would be of Elizabeth's pregnancy, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. First thought, I want you to notice that Mary was obedient to God. She was a virgin. She had never, ever committed fornication. I want to give you a verse. Don't turn to it, just listen. Because it's for all of us, not just Mary. 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." In other words, we are to avoid sexual immorality. Could I just say something to particularly those of you, the younger ladies in the congregation? Not sure where you are, high school, maybe college age. Listen. Don't you ever feel bad about keeping yourself pure. Don't let anybody ever make you feel like you're inadequate or just make you feel uncomfortable. If you have a guy that you're interested in and he makes you feel uncomfortable, or in some way you just feel like he's trying to take advantage of you, you just remember who you are and whom you serve. And keep yourself pure. If I were you, young ladies, and I'm encouraging you, don't you ever feel bad or uncomfortable about keeping yourself pure. Let them say what they want. They can make fun of you or whatever. You find a guy who's a godly man, and that will be the will of God. Mary was a virgin. She was a role model for all ladies. She kept herself pure. By the way, do you realize the fact that Mary kept herself pure made it possible for her to be the virgin that was prophesied in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. Behold, the prophet said, 700 years before Christ came, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. God chose a virgin girl when he sent his son, the Lord Jesus, into this world. That ought to make every one of you ladies realize the value and importance of purity. And by the way, The same thing goes for us guys. If I profess to be a Christian, I have made a decision to follow Jesus Christ. Therefore, I should keep my life pure. And we should keep ourselves pure for the one that God has chosen for us to be a partner. So I just want to encourage you, because I know what our society's like. I have grandkids, and we've been through all of this stuff. And I know sometimes how some people can make you feel about, oh, so you think you're so holy, right? No, it's not that at all. We just know who we are and whom we serve. And God said, do not participate in sexual immorality. So Mary kept herself pure. She was obedient to God. You'll notice also in this verse that it says that she was espoused to a man whose name was Joseph. Now, Joseph and Mary were not married. She was espoused to him. There is a big difference between marriage and an espousal. It is a particular cultural thing back at that time. It is it's more than engagement, but it's less than a marriage. An espousal. Let me tell you briefly what that means. By the way, when two people became espoused, they signed a legal document and it was a legal commitment. You had to get a divorce to get out of it. She had already done that, she and Joseph. They were espoused. Then there was a period of 1 year, up to 1 year, when they could get married. You say, why up to a year? Because the prospective groom now would go and prepare a home for his bride. And then he would come to get her. And he would take her in marriage. And then they were married at that particular time. By the way, I have a series I preached on that. I don't know if you caught it. Do you know what the Bible says about our relationship to Jesus Christ right now? We're not married to Him. We are espoused to Him. Because it says in 1 Corinthians 11:2, we are espoused to Jesus Christ. Do you know what that means? We have made a commitment to Him. We're espoused. He's gone to prepare a home for us. And during this time, we are supposed to keep ourselves pure and holy, just like He is holy. And someday, He will come and take us unto Himself, and we'll be married. Do you see the picture? Espousal. What a great doctrinal truth that is. Mary was espoused to Joseph, which makes for part of the dilemma. Because Joseph knew that during the espousal time, they did not consummate the relationship. There was no sexual relationship. They were to keep themselves pure for each other. Now she is expecting a baby. That's an issue. But you know, and I know, that Mary was obedient to God. She was a virgin, God said. Second thought, Mary did not understand her circumstances either. You're in chapter 1 of Luke. Would you drop down to verse 34? Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can this be? I'm a virgin. I have never, ever been disobedient to God. I've never committed sexual immorality. How is it possible that I'm going to have a baby? I have no idea, Lord. This doesn't make sense to me. Watch God's answer. In verse 35, God says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing or person which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Holy Spirit is going to overshadow you, hover over you, move upon you. You want to know where that word is also used? Listen to Genesis chapter 1. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and He created. It was an act of creation accomplished by the power of God. If you believe Genesis chapter 1, that God can create the heavens and earth, that He can overshadow that which is void and create, then you can believe the virgin birth. Shouldn't be hard at all. And so what God just said to Mary is, Mary, what you need to know is that which is being formed in you is a special creation of mine. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in your body and in your life. Just like I did back in Genesis. The virgin birth for me, I know some people who've said, I don't believe the Bible because I can't believe a virgin birth. Really? I've had lots of conversations with people like this. I said, well, let me just ask you a question just so I understand where you are. Do you believe in God? Well, sure, I believe in God. I mean, do you believe God created? Well, sure, I mean, I believe that. But you expect me to believe a virgin birth? I said, well, if you can believe that God created everything, you can believe the virgin birth. Because when He created, God created Adam without using a father or a mother. And God created Eve by only using a man. And He brought His Son into this world by only using a mother. For God, that's no issue. So if you really believe that God created us, then you can believe the virgin birth. And most of them just look at me and go, okay, whatever. You know. And notice verse 35 at the end of it says, that holy person which shall be born of you shall be called the Son of God. Not become the Son of God. He already was before He came here. Shall be called the Son of God. Mary's conception of Jesus Christ was to be the incarnation of an already existing person. In other words, the child that she would give birth to lived and existed before she did. Here's a child who lived and was in existence before his mother. What an amazing... No wonder she was confused. Let me give you this illustration. We cannot transport Mary from the first century to today. But if she showed up in our society in America, what would our generation recommend in this particular case? A pregnant teen in poor financial circumstances, and the father of the baby is unknown. You already answered it. Abortion. May I remind you of something? Abortion is not an invention of modern medicine. Christianity Today magazine on October the 6th, 1989, in an article entitled The Abortion Wars, What Most Christians Don't Know, written by Tim Stafford, I quote, people commonly suppose that abortion is an invention of modern technological medicine. In fact, it was well known to the Greco-Roman society. In Plato's Republic, he made abortion or infanticide obligatory if the mother was over 40 years of age. In Aristotle's Ideal Society, abortion would be compulsory for families that exceeded a certain size. Aristotle made a distinction that would develop a life of its own, the distinction between the formed versus the unformed fetus. That's not anything new. He believed that human life was present in the fetus when distinct organs were formed, 40 days after conception for males, 90 days after a days for females. That thinking survived in various forms right down to the arbitrary trimesters of Roe versus Wade, unquote. And Michael Gorman, in an article entitled Abortion in the Early Church, quote, in Roman law, the Roman Empire was paradoxically pro-family, but not fundamentally anti-abortion. That the fetus is not a person was fundamental to Roman law. What is my point? Mary had options. But she knew who she was, and she knew to keep herself pure, and she knew to be obedient, and she knew to submit herself to God. Listen, she's obedient, even though she doesn't understand his circumstances. So listen to the way she responds. Look at verse 38. Luke 1. And Mary said, behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Do you know what she said? I'm the Lord's servant, and I am willing to do whatever he wants me to do. Let me ask you, do you profess to be with the Lord's servant? Then will you do whatever the Lord wants you to do? It's not a multiple choice. You either will or you won't. She was obedient. She did not understand her circumstances. My third point is, she still trusted God. I will do whatever you want me to do, Lord. And then Mary gets down toward the end of her pregnancy. And where is she? She is in Galilee. You don't have to know a whole lot about the details, but I can tell you that Galilee is in the extreme north in Israel. That's where the city of Nazareth is. But the city of Bethlehem is in the extreme south, in an area called Judea. Turn the page to Luke 2. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria, and all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. This taxation, literally apographo, which is a word simply meaning to enroll, it was enrollment for the purpose of census, for the purpose of drafting for the army or the military. Rome had basically ruled over about 27 provinces. Palestine had previously been tax exempt from the Roman Empire until this point. This census was for the purpose of taxation, but it was also for the purpose of registering men to serve in the Roman army. It was very distasteful to the Jewish people. In fact, the historian Josephus tells us, it later sparked violent protests from the Jewish people. It was a big issue. Have you forgotten? This wasn't just some arbitrary question to Jesus. We have a question for you. Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not? Because that was a hot issue. And Jesus answered that. You render to Caesar what is Caesar, and you render to God what is God's. It is right to pay taxes. This particular decree from Caesar Augustus from the Roman Empire could not have come at a worse time for Mary, expecting a baby. way up in Nazareth, some 65, 70 miles from Bethlehem. Not easy to travel back in those days. Can you imagine? So what would you do? And how many ladies might have said to their husband, "Okay, come on. Are you kidding me? You expect us to go all the way down there? I mean, really." And watch Joseph and Mary be obedient and trust God even when it's difficult. Look at verse 4. "And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem." Why? "Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child." Joseph was a descendant of King David. So was Mary. The Old Testament says, "And thy house and thy kingdom will be established forever." Remember the prophet Micah. "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah, though thou be little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of thee shall he come forth that is to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth have been from of old, from everlasting." The Messiah is going to come from the house and lineage of David. Joseph and Mary made the right decision. The right people got married. You're going to learn a lot from the Christmas story. Be sure you marry the right person. You guys, wait. Wait on the right young lady. Ladies, wait on the right guy. Just commit it to God. The Christmas story tells us the right people got married because she becomes the one to bear the Messiah. So the prophet said what? Jesus will be born in Bethlehem. Where are they living? In Nazareth. Long way to get there. Why would they even need to go to Bethlehem? Until there was the taxation and the demand that they go to register, they would have stayed in Nazareth. And I see the providence of God. Old Dr. J. Vernon McGee, if I had a glove, I'd put it on my hand right now. Dr. J. Vernon McGee used the illustration of a glove. And he would say, "You see the glove, but what you don't see is the hand inside the glove moving the glove." And that's the providence of God. That is the hand of God moving the circumstances of human history to fulfill his purposes and plans. What an amazing account. And there's the providence of God in your life and my life. Why? He will move the circumstances of our lives to fulfill his purposes through us, if we will what? Be obedient to him, even if we don't understand the circumstances, and if we trust him with our lives, even when it's confused. And so here they are, way up north. But because they were obedient to the law, they made their way all the way down to Bethlehem in Judea. Here's another point. Did you know that there was another city called Bethlehem up in Galilee? But the prophet said, "But thou, Bethlehem, Ephratah." Not, "But thou, Bethlehem, Zebulun," which is way up in the north, which would have been easy for them to get to. But Bethlehem, Ephratah, sort of like saying St. Petersburg in Pinellas County. It's that Bethlehem way down there. And they were the house and lineage of David, and they made their way all the way down there to the right Bethlehem. I mean, this Christmas account is just full of the hand of God moving the circumstances of their lives. And they were obedient. They went. And it says in verse 6, "And so it was." I have that circled in my Bible. I have in verse 1, and it came to pass, circled in red. And then I have in verse 6, and so it was, circled in red, that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Oh my goodness. The obedience of Joseph and Mary in confusing circumstances, just trusting God. Only you would know, Lord, why do we have to make this long trip? My heart is sad for my wife, the dilemma of this long trip. But I'll do what I know I'm supposed to do. I'm supposed to be obedient to the law. And their obedience fulfilled two Old Testament prophecies. Behold, a virgin will conceive. Thank you, Mary. Thank you for keeping your life pure and being a virgin. There's nothing wrong with that, because that's God's perfect plan. And then Bethlehem Ephratah, out of you he will be born. And their obedience brought about the fulfillment of two great prophecies. Oh, but wait. Let me tell you about an obedient son. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. I just quoted Philippians 2:8. Whom are we talking about? We're talking about Christ, who being in the form or fashion, being found in fashion as a man. You know what the fashion is, don't you? That's what you look like on the outside. He looked like a man, but he was God. And being found in fashion as a man, Philippians says he humbled himself and became obedient. Jesus obeyed his Father and took upon himself human flesh and went through the horrors of living here in this world. No man has ever been treated as bad as Jesus was. And then he knew he would ultimately go to the cross. What a horrible, horrible thing he went through. I may preach some more on this later, but we are told by the prophet Isaiah that he had been beaten so badly and mistreated and pummeled so badly and ripped on his face that when they hung his body on that cross, Isaiah says you couldn't even tell he was a man. He looked like a hunk of meat. Nobody, no artist paints that. You wouldn't hang that in your living room. But that's what Jesus went through to save us from hell. Let's remember at Christmas time, the message is more than just the baby. It's the cross and the resurrection. That's the gospel. And he did it all so that someday when I take my last breath, and as the years now roll past farther and farther, I begin to realize how short this world's time really is for me and you. And someday we will die, but thank God, at that instant, my soul will leave my body, and so will yours, and instantly go into the presence of God, and we will see Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for being obedient. Our Father, we have read this account so many times, but oh Lord, to look at these verses again and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to our hearts. Lord, if there's a young person listening to this message and they've been taunted or they've been made fun of because they've kept themselves pure, would you give them the strength to say, you know what, I know that I'm a Christian. I know who I am, and I know how I should behave. help them to stay pure. Thank you that because Mary stayed pure, she could be the virgin of Isaiah 7:14. And Lord, help us all to be obedient, to do what you tell us to do, what the Bible teaches, just like you did in coming into this world to save our souls. We will never be able to thank you enough. And so, Lord, at this Christmas time, we thank you for the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.